26.
Me, helping Crooge and the bastards,
Honor thought.
Nobody would have guessed it. I wouldn't have. But then Crooge said the magic words, make the wizard sorry, and please. Saying please didn't hurt.
Once she decided to help, things moved pretty quickly. The boys hauling on the dragon with ropes all watched, amazed, as Honor slowly walked up to it with a scone in her outstretched hand, Runt following behind her. The dragon kept struggling with the bastards at first, but when it saw Honor and Runt, it calmed down a bit. Whether it smelled the scone, was somehow soothed by Honor's demeanor, or was simply confused that these two tiny creatures weren't terrified, she'd never know. The bastards knew that they'd spent the better part of the day avoiding getting in front of the dragon out of pure fear of getting burned alive. And now this little girl just walked up to the dragon as if there was nothing to fear at all. They didn't know about the magical doll Hubert gave her, and she didn't plan to tell them. She broke off a hunk of the scone and tossed it at the dragon's feet. The dragon sniffed at it a few times, then ate it. She broke off and threw another piece, which met the same end as the first. The dragon looked at Honor expectantly and slowly lay down on the ground. The bastards relaxed and allowed the ropes to go slack.
How long have you been fighting it?
Honor asked. Crooge said,
Since dawn.
It's exhausted. You all must be.
Honor broke off another hunk of scone and said, in a quiet, soothing tone,
If one of you were to tie the longest of those ropes to a big tree, we might have him.
Crooge himself took a rope cinched around the dragon's right rear leg and tied it quickly around a large tree trunk, using a hastily improvised knot that would either fall apart at the first tug or be absolutely impossible to ever untie. She broke the scone into many pieces and tossed them onto the ground in front of the dragon. For a moment, Runt looked as if she might run forward to claim her share of the scone, but Honor looked down at Runt, and the dog stopped cold. Crooge and the bastards were smart enough to keep quiet and back away. Within a few minutes, the dragon had fallen asleep, not even realizing it was tied to a tree. Honor took the last scone in her bag and used it to lead the other dragon out of the woods. While Honor kept it captivated with food and gentle talk, Crooge snuck up behind it and looped a rope around its back left leg, so gently that the dragon barely noticed. Of course, barely noticed means noticed, and the dragon did turn, slap at Crooge, and panic for a moment. But Honor got the dragon's attention back and managed to calm it down. Soon it was lying in the grass with the horned dragon and seemed well on the way to unconsciousness itself. The dragons looked peaceful, but Honor knew better. Besides, her father had lectured her many times about the difference between a friend and a resource. People could be friends. Dogs could be friends. Sheep were food and clothing waiting to be made. They were raw material. Looking at them that way made lambing and herding them less enjoyable, but it made shearing and slaughtering them without feeling like a monster possible. Honor looked at the dragons and thought,
They're weapons. Weapons made by the wizards to be used against us normal folk, obviously, because who else is there to use them against? That's all right. We have two of them now, and we will use them against the wizards.
Honor looked at Crooge.
I helped him get the dragons, but now he's got them. He still needs my help to train them, but I don't know that he knows that, and I don't think he'd like being told by a girl.
Crooge sat on the ground. He seemed as tired as the dragon. He looked at her and tried to smile, but he was badly out of practice. In the end, he gave the impression of a frightened man trying to ingratiate himself to the person frightening him. Crooge had seen this expression many times. It was easy for him to imitate.
Your name's Honor, right?
How did you know that?
Everybody knows, eh? You and your brother raise sheep down the road, don't you?
She nodded. Crooge looked at the dragons, then looked at her and said,
You asked if any of us were able to bake. Is that so you can show us how to make those things you were feeding the dragons?
They're scones,
Honor said.
Call them what you want. The dragons had to work to chew them but seemed to like them enough.
Honor said,
Yes, I'll show you how to make them, and I'll give you the ones I already have tomorrow.
Why not now?
That question coming from that man in that tone of voice might well have made most people start to sweat and gibber, but Honor had seen much worse things than Kluge that day.
Because it's very late, and the scones are at my cabin. I have to go there to get them, and I might as well sleep and bring them in the morning. That's where my kitchen is too, and my ingredients. If I'm going to teach you to make scones, it'll have to be there.
While the villagers saw Kluge as a dumb brute, he was the chief dumb brute. One rarely manages to rise to leadership, even amongst Neanderthals, without some intelligence. He recognized that Honor was telling him the facts, and he was impressed that someone so small was looking him in the eye while doing so. Kluge said,
I'll send someone home with you to get the scones. Then, first thing in the morning, I'll have someone there to learn to make more.
Honor said,
Not first thing. I have to tend to the sheep.
Why can't your brother?
Honor looked down at Runt, took a moment to stifle the urge to cry, looked back to Kluge, and said,
The wizards bewitched him, and a lot of other people. They're asleep in the church. Nobody can wake them up.
Kluge stared at her for several seconds.
He's waiting, hoping I'll cry, Honor thought. He's going to be disappointed.
Honor didn't cry. Kluge smiled, turned slightly to shout over his shoulder without taking his eyes off Honor, and hollered,
Stretch! Come here!
Stretch was Kluge's second in command, which seemed like a good job to the other members of the gang, none of whom understood that being second in command just meant being first to do whatever Kluge wanted done. Despite looking utterly exhausted, Stretch ran to Kluge and asked,
What do you need?
Seems the wizards put spells on a bunch of people in town. Put them to sleep.
Is that right? Spineless snobs! If you're gonna knock someone out, you should have the decency to punch them in the face like a man.
I agree. Our new friend's brother was one of the victims.
Oh, I see. That's not good.
No, it is not. Since she helped us, and has promised to help us further, you're gonna take Long Lobes and accompany her home.
Why do I have to take Long Lobes?
Stretch asked.
I can't stand that guy.
That's why, Kluge said. He knows not to step out of line because you love an excuse to make his lobes even longer. Maybe even tie him in a bow for him. You're gonna have Long Lobes stick around and make sure she's safe while she sleeps. And you will bring every scone she has back here so we can use them to keep those monsters from eating us.
He looked at Honor expectantly. She realized he was waiting for her to either agree or disagree. She nodded.
Then,
Kluge continued,
in the morning, you're going to return to her house, and the two of you are going to help her get her flock squared away, and learn how to bake.